We continue to experience the consequences of unchecked presidential action. Sunlight is the best disinfectant, but this president was allowed for too long to commit blunder after blunder under cover of darkness provided by an allied Republican Congress.
Golly, that was Hillary Clinton. It was such a nice little bit. Blunder after blunder under the cover of darkness. If only it were true. There was no darkness. There was no darkness in 2003. Everyone who was paying attention and who has been paying attention since then has known that this was not just blunders. This was criminal malfeasance. It wasn't even malfeasance. It was intentional crimes. And let us just say that one of the prime enablers of the crime continues to be Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, also aided and abetted by our dear buddy, Senator Barack Obama. You know, and I don't mean to be overly critical of these guys. I mean, because you can't possibly be overly critical of people who have empowered this very, very wrong-headed and incredibly ineffective president to continue to kill more and more people. We've just seen today that Bush has announced the deployment of another 3,000 troops to the war in Afghanistan. Of course, since that is going so incredibly well, let's just do more of that. More troops, because really the Afghanistan campaign is going really well. You got to admit, maybe things are bad in Iraq, but doggone it, Afghanistan is going so well since Osama bin Laden is sitting in prison somewhere, of course, rotting in prison, and democracy has come to Afghanistan. And, of course, you know, one of the things that is really amazing, by the way, good evening, truth seekers. It is I, Aaron Freeman, sitting in for my last day of sitting in for the great Mike Malloy on The Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. But let us just say we're going to be talking, we have a couple of things we're going to be doing tonight, talking a little bit about what is to be done, as Lenin so wisely asked. In the second hour, we're going to be talking with Peter Martinez, who is an organizer and an activist of long standing, who's going to give us some hints on how to organize some of these protests that we all think are so crucial and may be the last hope for stopping this administration. But I really want to talk a little bit at the beginning here about a couple of things that I think should be done and why. For example, the great sin, as I have said before, as I said last night, about Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, and in fact most of the Democrats, even the ones whose positions we agree with, who Maxine Waters, who has the wonderful Bring Our Troops Home and Iraqi Restoration Act, Iraq Sovereignty Restoration Act, and some of the other folks, is they simply refuse to call the crimes of this administration crimes. They refuse to tell the truth. Because it is politically incorrect, they think it'll be divisive, but there is something really important and really useful about telling it like it is. As I learned in this, the most fun thing I learned during the last Martin Luther King birthday, last Martin Luther King holiday, King said when he announced his support of the anti-war movement, his opposition to the Vietnam War, he said, "A time comes when silence is betrayal. A time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policies, especially in a time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom and in the surrounding world. Moreover, when the issues at hand seem as perplexing as they often do in the case of dreadful conflict, we are always on the verge of being mesmerized by uncertainty. But we must move on." So said Martin Luther King in 1967. And that is one of the things, and in my view, it is one of the absolute fundamental things that must happen if we're going to move forward. We have to be willing to call a spade, a crime. And this was not a series of mistakes. I mean, certainly the crimes were badly managed, but these were not mistakes, and it was not done under the cover of darkness. I'm sure that all of you, everyone without exception who was paying attention during the lead up to it, anyone who is paying attention now recognizes that these are what they are doing is intentional. They meant to do it, just as we can all see, the world can see, this desperate, desperate attempt to drag us kicking and screaming into war with Iran, and the shameful acquiescence to that, this dragging, to this shameful acquiescence to all these lies by the Democrats and Republicans. And there are powers that just, and I guess the idea is that you just have to show how manly you are. It's sort of like that, was it a Snickers commercial where the two guys and were eating on the same bar and they ended up with their lips touching and then they had this, oh, dude, we totally kissed. And then they had to go and do all manner of goofy things to show how manly they were and rip the hair from their chest and hit each other with iron bars to prove that they were in fact really tough guys. And that is really what a lot of people have to do. As I mentioned before, Peter Jennings said this very nice thing about why the press went along with the Iraq war, was that after 9/11 there was martial music in the air, that the press were afraid not to march at peril of being judged unpatriotic. But obviously that is not the rational or helpful or patriotic thing to do. But before we move on to other issues, there's something a little bit of business from last night that leads us into something else here.
I'm sorry for the things I've done. I know that I'm the foolish one. Now that I see who's to blame, I'm so ashamed. I'm sorry.
Last night I had a lot of fun beating up on various folks because of the English writing on the so-called Iranian mortars that were shown by the president's men in Baghdad on Sunday. It turns out that, as I am led to believe, I now understand, the Iranian mortars are marked in English with Roman letters in conformity with international weapons standards. I guess it has a uniform method of marking so that weapons can be identified easily, whereby everyone everywhere. And so I was wrong. I was the decider on the use of that particular bit, use of that photo, that particular interpretation of the photo, and I was incorrect. And I apologize to those of you who were misled by my mistake. And I mention that because I mention that as a lead into something that has really, truly inspired me. And this is my last night here, so I will indulge it. There's something I want to read to you. This is a petition that Rabbi Michael Lerner is attempting to get. Actually, I won't start doing this right now, but let me tell you what I'm going to talk about. This is a petition that Rabbi Michael Lerner is attempting to raise money for, and I'll just a little pitch for it. You can listen to it when we come back in the break. He wants to raise money to put this petition into the New York Times, and we're going to try to in a little bit to well, we started it a little bit, and I'll finish reading it to the other side of the hour. But and I find this really inspiring, and I hope you will too. And if you do, I hope you'll go to tikkun.org, TIKKUN.org, and you can contribute and put your name on the petition, and which I really think is a very wonderful thought. And it begins as follows: Many Americans have not yet conveyed to their elected officials that they must cut all funding for the war and bring the troops home now. They want to know what will happen next. To answer that, and to strengthen congressional resolve to end the war, the peace forces need to introduce a new ethical and spiritual vision of how America could change the way it acts and is perceived in the world. Here's how. An ethical way to end the Iraq war. 1. The war is wrong. Repentance is necessary. The remedy for wrongdoing begins with repentance. Therefore, we propose that the president go before the United Nations and confess that based on reports from intelligence experts, he believed that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He should explain that this was why he called for an invasion of Iraq. Those reports were wrong, and hundreds of thousands of innocent people have been killed, and entire cities have been devastated. for the sufferings and deaths that have come from this invasion, he should ask for forgiveness on behalf of himself and the American people who overwhelmingly supported this great wrong. Scripture declares, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." Now, there's more to this ethical way to end the war by Rabbi Michael Lerner. I want to shoot. I'm going to read a little more of it after the break. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio and the Nova M Radio Network. Would love to get your comments and thoughts on this particular petition at 800-989-1480. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy. We got more coming up. We're just getting started on the Nova M Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman here with the final night. We're sitting in for the wonderful Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio, 1-800-989-1480. I'm reading a bit from a petition by Rabbi Michael Lerner and others for an ethical way to end the Iraq War. And let me just continue here. Let's see here. In repenting on behalf of all Americans, including those who are not religious, the president should acknowledge that this entire society has mistakenly adhered to the view that safety and security can be achieved through domination and control of others, but that a better path to safety and security is to treat others with generosity, care, and genuine concern for their well-being. In case the president is unwilling or unable to pursue this path, we urge the Congress to pass a resolution rejecting the strategy of domination and embracing a strategy of generosity, calling upon the world's peoples to forgive our society for the destructive path it has followed. It should then send representatives to address the United Nations and convey this appeal for forgiveness on behalf of the American people. Another point of this is that true repentance requires the works of repentance. It is not merely enough to say, "We're sorry." This financial commitment is little compared to, earlier he calls for a new Marshall Plan. He says this financial commitment is little compared to the $2 billion a week the war is currently costing. A new Marshall Plan should be part of a larger global strategy which the U.S. announces to commit at least 1% of gross domestic product of the U.S. each year for the next 20 years toward the goal of eliminating global and domestic poverty, homelessness, inadequate health care, inadequate education, and for repairing the environment. Now, this seems to me a strategy of generosity and repentance, and this is a strategy called for by Rabbi Michael Lerner, Reverend Tony Campolo, Sister Joan Christener, and various others. Now, again, if you'd like to put your name on this petition, you can go to tikkun.org, T-I-K-K-U-N.org. And this strikes an eye. My mother, of course, says to me that this is just a silly, not silly, it's a great idea, but it'll never happen. I am not absolutely positive. I could imagine, for example, I could truly imagine that sufficient pressure could be put on the Democratic House of Representatives, democratically controlled House of Representatives, to adopt a resolution specifically rejecting a strategy of domination. Because there's, outside of the White House, there's almost no one in the country who really wants, who thinks that domination, even if it were desirable, almost nobody thinks it will work. Of course, President Pinocchio does. But beyond that, no one else thinks that, or very few people think that a strategy of global domination, and I know that the Committee for the Project for a New American Century believes that it would work, but We've seen they tried it, they gave it their absolute best shot, and I don't think it's going too well. Anyway, so I really would love to hear the thoughts of the Mike Malloy Truth Seekers about this particular petition by Rabbi Michael Lerner at 800-989-1480. Let's dive right in here, actually, with George in San Francisco. You are on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron Freeman.
Yes, did I hear that you had some Christian clergymen who also
yes.
had...
Reverend Tony Campalo, Sister Joan Christener, Donald. This is a coalition of progressives for spiritual progress.
Uh-huh. Sure, I'd sign something like that. I think it's the only way out of this mess.
Well, it's we could always impeach these guys and send them to The Hague. I think is another really great idea. We'll leave out the business about the firing squad, as appropriate as that might be. But, it sure seems to me that in the long term, a policy of repentance and generosity will do more, will have a better shot of securing our nation, securing the homeland, than the current policy.
Well, if we're sincere about being sorry about having done this, it's the only thing to do.
Well, I would say to you, what do you tell me what you think, George? I truly believe that even George Bush did not mean for 500,000 people to die.
I don't know what George Bush intended. I'm flabbergasted by him.
Well, it's
I was a Republican for 60 years, and when he was proposed as a candidate for president, I withdrew my name from all the parties and voted as an independent. But I can't fathom him. I don't know what he thinks.
George, hang on for a second. I want to take a quick break here. We'll come back with you. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman on the Nova M Radio Network. We'll take a break. We'll be right back and take more of your calls, because I want to hear what you got to say on Nova M Radio.
Shining my sights. La la tonight. She comes.
What can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry? What can I do to prove to you I'm sorry? I didn't mean to ever be mean to you.
Good old Dean. After you say you're sorry, what do you do? Well, according to Rabbi Michael Lerner and other clergy people, you have a global Marshall Plan. 1% of the GDP of the United States of America would, for the next 20 years, would go toward the attempt to eliminate global poverty, hunger, homelessness, inadequate health care, inadequate education. I think it's a wonderful, inspiring idea that is possible. It's possible to begin it. They say the petition, which is at tikkun.org/Iraq peace, tikkun.org/Iraq peace, that petition suggests that the Congress begin by passing a resolution renouncing the doctrine of global domination. I was talking to George in San Francisco, and George, I was saying that I really do believe that even Bush did not intend for all this death and all this destruction and all this dishonor. But you're not sure.
Well, I know somebody asked him a question about his religious feelings, and they said, President, I assume one of these interviewers said, I assume you spent a lot of time on your knees before you went into Iraq and did a lot of soul searching. He said, absolutely not.
Of course.
I went right in.
Well, I'm
so
sure.
I don't know,
I think he wanted it to work. I think he really, like a lot of people, the truth is, you tell me, I am astonished at how badly this has gone. I thought it was wrong and immoral, but I really thought that they had the minimal competence to pull it off.
Well, I think, and if I can make a suggestion, I think to really make this meaningful, it should be accomplished, accompanied also by a commitment to unilateral nuclear disarmament, and by urging Israel to give back all of the land that they've taken by conquest since they were given the... independent country by the United Nations. And I think otherwise, it's true. Kind of meaningless. An apology to the Palestinian people for the hell we plunged them into.
Well, you know, a repentance and generosity is what they're saying, and that seems like, and that would be a part of that policy as far as I could see. Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
All right. It's the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers, here on Nova M Radio, the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Aaron Freeman, talking about the petition, which is at tikkun.org/Iraq peace, calling for a policy, a new policy, a genuine change in the strategy to a policy away from global domination to a policy of repentance and generosity. We're going to talk to Boo. Boo. Boo is in San Diego. Boo, you're on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Best day of my life, Boo. How about you, girl?
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. It's a great day.
So tell it.
I have a couple of questions about... I actually came in sort of midway into your reading of the petition. And the first thing that I heard was this idea that we were repenting for going into this country based on some inaccurate intelligence.
You're absolutely right.
And, okay.
Yes.
Okay, here's my thing. I mean, isn't the true meaning of repentance when one repents telling the truth about one's motivation for engaging in certain behaviors?
Yes. I get it. I hear you. And because we all know they lied in their teeth.
They lied through their teeth about their reasons. I mean, the Downing Street memo, there's enough evidence, you know, out there that, believe me, I am in no way a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but I think there's enough concrete evidence out there to show that the reasons for going into Iraq in the first place were not based on bad intelligence, but rather
right.
trumped up intelligence. And the real reason for doing this was, as you say, world domination and control of certain economic realities.
It's true. It's true.
So,
there's no question. There's no question about it. I guess that, you know what, I assume that what Michael Lerner and the folks who wrote this petition did, they want to figure out something that would be microscopically possible, that it would not, there are so many people, as you know, who remain vested. Look at Hillary Clinton. They remain vested in this notion that, oh, if only we had known the intelligence was wrong. If only, I know, I didn't know. Who knew?
Yeah.
I thought that they... Of course, you know, one of the really interesting points that almost never gets talked about, even by us, even if Saddam Hussein had nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons, why in the world would he have attacked us with them? Never
right.
mind that he couldn't. He couldn't have done it.
He hadn't used them, nor did he have any intention of using them against the United States. It was
nor did he even have any way. If he'd wanted with all his heart to do it, he couldn't. He had no possibility.
He would not have had the means to do it.
However,
you're right.
However, let us just say though that this is an attempt to come up with something that maybe the country could buy into. Because again, I think that it is possible, and I argue that it is possible. You could get a majority in the House of Representatives to pass a bill that would renounce mm-hmm. the doctrine of domination.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you think?
I think so.
I absolutely think so. That would be so much worth doing.
History has proven to us that the whole concept of world domination ultimately has to fail.
Well, certainly it does fail.
I mean,
I don't know if it has
it
to.
It does fail.
Maybe if you did it really, really well. If these guys were smooth and efficient and smart and ruthless, maybe.
I just think it's disingenuous to have the foundation of this petition be based on a web of lies. I mean, it's disingenuous, and, you know,
But let me say, I think it is fair to say that even though the reason they went in was not because they thought that there was some threat to the U.S., I think they did believe somehow or other they would find something. Because if they didn't think they'd have found something, they wouldn't have sent David Kaye and those guys in there.
I'm not so sure about that.
You don't think they just sent Kaye in knowing that he would find nothing at all?
I think that the goal was simply to get in there, and it was to get in there by hook or by crook, and that by the time it became evident that there was nothing there, that we would be so embroiled in the conflict and so much money and energy and you know, life would have been invested in the conflict that at that point it would have been impossible to, you know, extricate ourselves.
But I see, I guess I disagree, because I think that if they really thought that there was, if they really didn't believe it, they would have just planted something. Because that would have been the smart thing to do. Because they're not, they're incompetent, but they're not wholly stupid. They would have
Well, but they made attempts at doing that, you know, when they were talking about the aluminum tubes, and when Condoleezza Rice came out, these aluminum tubes, you know, the proof positive evidence, you know, suggests that these aluminum tubes are only, you know, in you. And then later it came out that, oh, well, that's a load of, you know.
Actually, it didn't come out. It did not come out later. It came out before the war. Mohamed Abarde testified before the United Nations on global television that Iraq's story about those aluminum tubes were was absolutely rock solid. This is weeks before the invasion. They said there wasn't even afterward. They knew ahead. Because the truth is that prior to the invasion of Iraq, 100% of the testable intelligence had been proven wrong to a level of scientific certainty. You know, there was just nothing, as you know, long before they invaded. But I, like I said, maybe Bush didn't know, but I think that there were some people who thought that there were some sort of weapons in there somehow, or else I think they would have made an effort to plant some. But you could be right. You could be right. Maybe they're
like they're doing with
Iran
now. Exactly.
Because, well, they know that exactly. They have to plant stuff because they know there's no Iranian threat to the United States.
Let's cut out that secret source who knows about the secret weapons
Mark my words. We have not.
When did everything become so secretive in this country?
Curveball is not dead yet. Okay, curveball is coming back. The baseball season is not over. You mark my words, young lady.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Boo.
I'll keep an eye open. Thanks.
All right, darling. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. We're going to talk to Al. Al is out there in Portland, Oregon. Al, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Yes, thanks a lot for taking my call. I heard from a friend the other day a thing that just blew me away just because it seemed so pie in the sky. And that was the idea that the good thing for the country right now would be for Bush and Cheney to just resign in the same way kind of that, you know, they were able to persuade Nixon to do that at the time of Gerald Ford.
That'd be a great thing for the country and the world.
Wouldn't it?
Even better would be the trial at The Hague so that it would all come out.
I love that idea, too. I like that idea, too. But we just heard from Boo many of the reasons why this all kind of seems pie in the sky. I like the petition because it seems to have all those awesome kind of ethical underpinnings,
but I'm still
even maybe spiritual underpinnings that would, you know, I'm feeling stirrings out of the shame I feel because this president has just besmirched our country's reputation so much and done so many wrong things.
But I still say, though, I still say, Al, that I think it's possible that the Congress could pass a resolution renouncing the doctrine of domination. I think it's possible.
I love it.
That's a Democratic Congress. You just need 50% of the Congress, and to denounce a doctrine of domination, to say that we don't believe in domination, I think that is possible. It'll take a lot of work.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. And that's why I love the petition idea.
Yep.
Because my friend's idea that they should just resign, just really does seem, you know, because Bush hasn't the capacity to admit any mistakes. We know that. And Cheney's is several degrees worse than that. but this way, they could be shamed into doing something, but it's so positive. It gives one so much hope to hear this.
That's how I feel about it.
And I thank you so much for reading it to us and stuff.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Well, you know, also what these guys say is that if Bush won't do it, that the Congress should pass this anti-domination resolution and then send a representative to the UN to apologize anyway, even if Bush won't do it.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't it be great? All right, my brother. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. It's Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I am Aaron Freeman, taking your calls about the petition, an ethical way to end the Iraq War. Love to hear from you at 800-989-1480. Give a call back. Give a call. Let's hear your voice on the Nova M Radio Network. Everything I need. Give me a lifetime. the Mike Malloy Show on NOVAM Radio Network. I'm Aaron Freeman. You, beloved listener, are simply the best. We're talking about the petition, which was is being circulated at Tikkun, TIKKUN.org/Iraq peace, a petition that calls upon the President and the Congress to initiate a truly new strategy, a truly new approach toward the Iraq war. This approach, a strategy of repentance and generosity. Let me read from the petition a bit more. This provides a major step toward the strategy of generosity, which is the Global Marshall Plan, which is the key to rebuilding respect and trust in the United States. It is the kind of generosity which is required by the scriptures of all the Abrahamic traditions and should be pursued not only because it helps increase American security and respect for America around the world, but because it is morally appropriate and religiously mandated. What do you think? Is it hopelessly idealistic or just hopefully idealistic? Ron in Davis, California, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, brother, good talking to you again.
All right, thank you.
Hey, man. Listen, there's a couple of things here. First of all, I sort of wish them luck, but it's really will amount to not much because you have to assume that there's some level of integrity within the Bush administration. There absolutely is none.
Well, but they say in case Bush won't do it, force the Congress to do it. Pass
well, even with the Congress, what sets people free, and you know this from 30 years back, Dr. King and so forth, is the truth. And the Congress is afraid to speak the truth. In other words, you and I can guess at why they're really in there. PNAC, oil, and so forth. Now, Iraq may only be a tactical move, and there's probably some overarching strategy. The thing I have to ask you, Aaron, because I really want you to scratch your brain on this,
all right,
is do you really think Bush and his cronies and the neocons think this is a failed operation?
Yes. I believe that they wanted shock and awe to work, that they really, really wanted to be able to go in, mow down Saddam Hussein, astonish the Islamic world into submission.
Okay, let me just, the reason why I would disagree with you or ask you to think deeper is,
all right,
how many billions of dollars have been made in this war?
There's no question that for them it was, to a certain extent, a win-win, win or lose. There's no doubt that they win.
It's just there is no lose.
Right.
Not for them. Not for those reptilians.
I mean, whether or not the occupation worked, you're absolutely unequivocally correct. Whether or not the occupation worked, and matter of fact, and I'm sure you would make the point, that it's even better this way because the GM gets to make a whole lot more Humvees.
You have any idea how much money has just been stolen, wasted, plundered?
Well,
and they're just laughing their asses off behind closed doors.
One of my favorite things is when Bremer testified a few weeks ago that they had delivered to the Iraq Coalition Provisional Authority, what was it, 363 billion tons.
No, that was 363 tons.
I'm sorry, 363 tons, right. 1.5 billion, the largest transfer of cash in the history of the Federal
Reserve. Yeah, but that was just a spit in the bucket.
But I mean, I just love the idea of 363 tons of money.
Yeah, but that was actually nothing compared to what we're going to spend in terms
of
lives and money.
That's true.
I just want to put forth that there's an interesting book that General wrote, Smedley Butler, you probably heard of it, it's called War is a Racket.
Okay.
And if you can ever get it, he wrote that thing in 1935, and he died in 1940. And he laid it out, just like Ike laid out the military-industrial complex.
And I hear, but let me put this to you, Ron, though. You're certainly right that it is a racket. However, this one of the reasons that some people think that it will be so much better off when this whole Iraq adventure totally collapses is that it may discredit this kind of adventurism for another generation and make it a much harder sell. For example, and I would say in defense of this position, that Iran is a harder sell to the country than Iraq was.
No, but you have to understand that while if you can read some works, and I've read the works of a guy by the name of Niren Rosen, who has the guts of 12 tigers because he embedded himself right in Iraq civilization. Right in Baghdad and so forth. And he looks kind of like an Iraqi. And I heard his stuff. And he's laid out just based upon right what has been done to Iraq up to now. is like, it's over. It's beyond repair. It's falling. And it's like a whirlpool. It's going to suck everybody in. And World War III will likely result, be a result of it. In other words, it's as though this thing's never going to end until there's something horrific happens. I mean, I hate to say that,
and
but
even then it won't end. I mean, with something
it's
horrific.
It's bad. You have to at some point say there's just been too much damage. I mean, it's just been too much damage, and that's probably one thing they might not have expected, because this will carry to nuclear warheads and stuff. I mean, this is not over.
Well, that's certainly true, and again, there's no question that they win no matter what the military or strategic outcome is, that the merchants of death, the arms merchants, the Halliburtons, the Bechtels of the world win no matter what the outcome is. Again, I do think, though, that they need a political consensus. They need to seem like winners in order to sell the next war, and I think the next war is more difficult to sell because of the immense and gigantic failure.
Yeah, there's another huge thing that Congress does not have the nads to step up to, and that is they are facing right now, whether or not they want to admit it, a complete constitutional crisis.
That may be coming next month with the funding.
Well, but no, it actually exists right now, but they don't know it. And that has to do with the war powers.
Well, listen, Rondo, I got to take a break. I want to thank you very much,
man.
Brother.
Good
appreciate
talk
it.
To you.
Good talking to you. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. In the next hour, we're going to chat with Peter Martinez, an organizer who's going to give us some advice on how we can organize some of these networks, some of these protests, some of these movements that may, if anything is going to save us, it's going to be us and our ability to motivate each other. And Peter Martinez will give us some advice on how to do that on the Great Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. And I'm Aaron Freeman sitting in.
Gila. And we're rolling.
It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike for just a few more hours. Mike will be back next week. And I'm here on the Nova M Radio Network and grateful to be here. We're talking about a petition, just for a couple more calls here, about a petition by various reverends and Rabbi Michael Lerner, which concludes, we, the undersigned, support the concept of repentance and generosity as central to the way to end the war in Iraq. We call upon our elected officials, media, and fellow citizens to give serious consideration to the strategy outlined above, which requires a fundamental rethinking of what can really provide security for the U.S. and the world. John, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Best day of my life, brother.
Okay, well, here's my question.
Yes,
you were actually in the country last November.
Yes, I in fact was, and I even voted.
Okay, I was just curious, because every Republican, Democrat, Senator, and House member got their 2 seconds on TV. Yeah. When did one of them even vaguely express any remorse?
Yes, you are absolutely right. Sure. However, okay, you're right, there's no question, but so we voted out the Republicans, and the Democrats, and even many of the Republicans, as evidenced by the current debate in the House, did understand and are attempting to, at least superficially for now, respond to what we had to say. Would you agree?
No, actually, I don't.
Rhetorically, they're responding. We never had a debate like this, a three-day debate, 3 days of people criticizing the policy. You never saw that over the last 6 years. Now, you know that.
Not in the last 6 years.
Okay.
I saw it during Vietnam.
I'm old enough
to have been around for that. I served in Vietnam.
Fine and dandy, but they were responding. We're only having this debate because of what happened in November. No?
This is correct. correct. But okay. where's the remorse? Do you really believe these people, if they say that, could get reelected? Would America elect anyone who actually admitted we were wrong? I don't think so.
You know, and maybe. You may well be right. Obviously, there's reasons for pessimism about this particular approach. But these guys are trying to get this petition, get these ideas out there, because this particular petition was the first time I'd seen a call for repentance and generosity articulated anywhere.
I would feel better if they asked 150 million Americans to sign it and let us express our grief about what has happened.
That's what they want. I'm sure they'd love to get 150 million Americans to sign it at tikkun.org/Iraq Peace. That is what they want. They want us all. They want you, John. They want you to sign this petition.
Well, I'll go for it.
tikkun.org/Iraq Peace. Thank you, my brother.
Good evening, sir.
Bye bye. We're going to take just a couple more here. We're going to talk to Marnie in Phoenix. Marnie.
Yes, hi.
Hi there, darling.
I think the petition's probably a good idea. You made a comment, though, that you didn't think Bush meant to kill as many people as he has.
Yes.
I don't think he cared if he killed them. Nothing about this man has led me to believe he has an ounce of humanity or empathy in him. You know, so I don't think he cared. And you also made a comment about members of the Abrahamic tradition.
Yes, yes.
Which I'm not.
Fair enough.
Which gives me some interesting interactions in America today.
I understand.
As an outsider looking at this, because that's what I'm becoming in America.
Well, but haven't you noticed that the religion makes people so much better and kinder?
Well, it is the people that purport to be members of these traditions that are causing these wars. If you think about it in that way.
Well, that's true, but you have to understand, but they're causing them for good reasons.
In the name of God?
There you go. Obviously, now you understand, Marnie.
It's okay who you kill as long as you do it in the name of your God.
Well, as George Carlin says, it's okay to kill somebody as long as their invisible man in the sky is not as good as your invisible man in the sky.
Well, I'm beat because I don't know if it has, I don't know if I could say the word I was going to say, I don't know if it has gender or male gender in particular, but I do think that it is people who espouse to be members of these traditions that own what's going on. And people who are truly members of the tradition need to stand up against their others.
And I think that's what these guys, seriously, that's what this network of spiritual progressives is really trying to do. They're trying to do peace in the name
of God. I don't know that
God.
I'm repentant because I've been voting against this forever, but I am ashamed.
But, you know, I tell you, I do think, and I don't know if you saw, right after Bush won re-election, there was a thing that was going around on the Internet of people saying, I'm sorry, we're sorry, because I am sorry. Because I was not as effective. You know, I've tried to fight these guys, and I continue to try. I tried to stop Bush from getting reelected, and I failed.
Well, I'm kind of a realist. I'm not going to apologize for doing my best. You know what I'm saying?
I wish I'd have done better. I wish I'd have been more effective. I wish I'd have been less angry.
I think it depends on where we could be with that. But what really slays me are the people that voted for him twice and won't take ownership of what's going on.
Well, we can't, there's nothing I can do about those people, but I know
I was
not as effective as I could have been. I was more angry, and my anger turned people off, and I know that. And I regret that. I regret not being more strategic. I was more cathartic. You know, I wanted people to know how mad I was and how angry, how bad they were, and that turned people off, and I know it did, and that was my failing. And, I regret not being as effective.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
I was still mad. I'm still mad.
I'm angry, and I'm from a long matriarchal tradition.
Yeah.
And part of what I see happening is that we don't allow the softness in our society, the maternity in our society, to live, be free, and grow.
Well, that is what this network of spiritual progressives, that's a part of the approach. That is, I would think that's part and parcel with an approach of repentance and generosity.
Well, I'm absolutely going online and signing.
All right.
But I just I think Bush got exactly what he wanted. I think he wanted chaos, and I don't think he cared who he killed.
Well, my friend Heather Booth tries to maintain an attitude of pessimism of the mind and optimism of the heart.
Absolutely.
All right, girl. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, one last call we're going to take on this, and then we're going to move on to Peter Martinez. Brian in New Hampshire, you got the call. You're on the Mike Malloy Show, brother.
Hi, yeah, I want to second the lady's last line there, and I think while these people are very well-intentioned, of course, they're asking of the Bush crime family to do something like this. You're talking about a family that goes back to allowing 911, the criminal criminal attacks of 911, and the war profiteering that's ensued from there, and the war for oil profiteering that's ensued from there. And then you go back to the Bush's grandpa, Prescott Bush, helping the Nazis with Union Banking Corporation in World War II. Page 195 of Kevin Phillips' book on the Bush dynasty, I think it's the most chilling couple of lines, chilling sentence in the entire book. And it talks about the Bush family, Avril Harriman, and they became part of and Alan Dulles, they became part of the national security establishment of this country after World War II. And whatever these men, to quote Mr. Phillips, whatever these men in their investment banks or law firms had or hadn't done for IG Farben, Fritz Thyssen, and the Union Banking Corporation, in terms of broad politics at least, they had picked the right side, the camp that became the U.S. national security establishment, end quote. And that's some very chilling words, and I think it still fits today.
Well, but let me say, though,
Operation
part of this,
Paperclip, and all of that.
Push on to mention about this, what this petition says, that if Bush won't do it, it calls upon the Congress to pass legislation rejecting the strategy of domination. And I think that is possible to do, that we could get the Congress, we could get the Democratic House.
Well, how about the strategy of empire instead of we're a republic?
Well, then I think that it's possible to get the Congress to fight to pass legislation rejecting the strategy of domination. You don't think?
Yeah, well, if I think that the political term would probably be empire.
Maybe, however you do it, but six of one, half a dozen of the other. But it is possible with a Democratic Congress, if we are motivated enough and if we maintain our optimism sufficiently, and we're going to have in a few minutes our buddy Peter Martinez, we'll talk about what we can do practically to organize our communities, our neighborhoods, and our friends to maybe make some of these things happen in real life.
Yes, we do need to keep acting. We keep active. Your colleague, Peter B. Collins, tomorrow night is going to have a guest, Chalmers Johnson, the great historical writer. And his latest book, too, talks about blowback and things like that.
Yep.
But he said, we've already gone, I think, from the American Republic to the American Empire, and that's a very sad, dishonorable thing.
But there are some folks who are looking to dismantle that empire, and I'm not so positive they are not going to be bad enough to do it. So, they're stopping it cold in Iraq, certainly in a military sense, and I'm not so sure that they are not tough enough. But anyway, thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, it's the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to come back with Peter Martinez on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll be taking your calls about organizing and how to make it happen in real life on Earth here. It's the NOVAM Radio Network. It's your progressive radio network. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for the great Mike Malloy. We'll be back in just a few minutes with organizer Peter Martinez. Ian Huff, our engineer, who just has missed the music. He's just on the case here with the music. It's Ian Huff, the engineer, here at NOVAM Radio Network. My name is Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy for just a few more hours, an hour and a half left with you, dear listener, on the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to change channels here a little bit. We've spent the first hour and a half talking about this lovely petition, which, let me remind you once again, is at tikkun.org, tikkun.org/Iraq Peace. But now we are joined on the line from chilly, snowy Chicago, another one of my Chicago buds, Peter Martinez. Peter Martinez is a community organizer an activist of long standing. He is currently the director of the Center for School Leadership at the University of Illinois at Chicago. His job is to, he has developed and runs a program to train urban principals. But he's going to talk to us a little bit about organizing and how that can be achieved so as to put some of this passion, some of this frustration, some of this anger, some of this idealism to work and translate it into some work. But first of all, it's Peter, thank you so much for joining us on the Mike Miller Show.
Hey, Aaron. Great to be here.
So we were talking a little bit on the off the air about the temptation, the pull of pessimism and hopelessness when it seems as if the you're outgunned, outmanned, and outorganized by the forces of evil.
Well, look, I share the frustration of the people who have been calling, you know, into you, and unfortunately, you know, there are certain realities that you have to deal with in this game of change. Organizers, you know, one of the first things when you're organizing at the local level, you've been talking so far about big, you know, national movement style of organizing. But when you start organizing at the local level, there are a couple things that you know. You know that people have been beaten and they've been frustrated, and their feeling is that they can't beat City Hall. And so you've got to organize some victories in order to build people's confidence and make and get them to the point where they're willing to take on bigger and bigger fights, which require more and more risk and more effort and time. And so you start out with small, you know, winnable victories, you know, that they can go for.
Now, let me say, when you say that, that really, to not put too fine a point on it, that sounds sort of like what the Democrats are trying to do with this vote, this non-binding vote, that they're trying to get a vote that they can win.
I think that's right. If you want to now switch to this, you know,
I didn't mean that. I just mean to talk about giving people hope and trying to find some small victories. That's what it made me think of. But go on, please. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, they're trying to build some credibility. But as you assess any given fight, you know, essentially what you're doing is you're kind of sizing up a power arena. And you're asking yourself, okay, who are the people who are on the side that's opposed to mine, and how much power and influence do they have, and how much staying power do they have, and what is it that we can mount against that, and leverage, and very often, a small, you know, poor group can beat a corporation. But there are other times when you can't, the target is too big, or you've got to be able to get a bigger force going and heat up the arena more. The problem that I see in this current anti-war movement against Iraq is you still don't have enough people who are angry enough to be putting the pressure on every day, day in and day out, so that you're heating up the public arena with demonstrations, with actions on corporations, with actions on politicians, that kind of thing, which is what you had going in the case of the anti-Vietnam War. You had actions all over the place, and that's what it takes continuously. I mean, when I stop and think about, you know, some of the major fights that, you know, we won against Chicago, for example, in terms of stopping Commonwealth Edison in the 70s from using high sulfur coal and so forth. And that took 9 months of consistent action where we were putting media pressure on Edison, on the politicians in Chicago. Hang on, Peter.
We're going to come back. We'll come back for this another segment with Peter Martinez, and maybe even take some of your calls at 800-989-1480. It's the Nova M Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman. We're talking to Peter Martinez, and when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit with you on the Nova M Radio Network.
Keep on turning, brother. Keep on burning, and we're
It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Aaron Freeman, and I am sitting in for Mike Malloy for just a few more hours. Mike Malloy will be back. He'll be back and beautiful on Monday. We'd love to take your call at 800-989-1480. We are talking with Peter Martinez, organizer and director of the Center for School Leadership at the University of Illinois. We're talking about organizing and the lack of a critical mass of really angry people, people sufficiently angry to take to the streets as they did, those many years ago. Peter, you were saying...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's the center of it, Aaron. You got to be able to heat up the media arena for a long time. And let's look at part of the victory that was won through the political organizing that went on during the course of the election this time, and all of the activist demonstrations that were taking place around the country and in different parts of Europe and so forth. There was a lot of pressure put on the election, and that pressure wound up forcing the Republicans out of a majority vote. I mean, benchmark victory, toward ending the war. Now, it didn't do the whole thing, but it certainly was a benchmark, you know, toward that.
Now, there are a lot of people who are sitting at home and feeling frustrated, but feeling energized, feeling, as you say, they see some reason for hope. So what do you do if you want to organize some of the kinds of actions that you have seen in the past? How does one begin to think about organizing one's friends and communities to take some action?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. When in the early 70s, Chicago was there was a crosstown expressway that was going to be built in Chicago that was going to take 70 miles of homes out of commission, and they would be destroyed to make way for the crosstown expressway.
And this was the plan of Mayor Richard Daley, who was God and had
correct.
All the power at the time.
That's
all the power,
right.
All
and
the media. Okay.
A lot of money had been spent to do the planning. It was ready to go. And we had just finished a successful organizing campaign against Edison's, sulfur-burning plants. And a group of people began to contact us from churches that were going to be virtually destroyed along the expressway because half of their parishioners were going to be taken out of the action. Their homes were going to be taken. And what we began to do after we held a couple of meetings, we thought, well, there'd be 20 people at the meeting. There were 400 people at the meeting. We did that three or four times. We became convinced, okay, we got a lot of people who are hot here. So we just started moving, holding meetings after meetings down that corridor where they had planned to build the expressway, and you begin to build up a body of people. Now you had to put them into action that would heat up the press. And essentially what we did is we started doing actions against aldermen, getting 200 or 300 people out at those aldermen's office, forcing them to take a meeting, then going downtown, city council meeting, forcing some kind of action to take place there. Walker,
the governor Dan Walker won the election.
He wanted to be governor. He was running. Picked up on the fight and on the issue. And he got into it and said, and he made a commitment to us that if he got elected, that he would end the Crosstown Expressway. That energized a whole bunch of people now to go out and start organizing votes.
We were
responsible for turning out about 60,000 votes in that corridor for Walker. And then he finally delivered on his commitment after he was elected.
So what I hear you saying is that identified people who were affected by the issue that concerned you.
That's right.
And then you talk to them, right? You talk to them, but you said now organizing actions. What do you mean actions against aldermen? Against those are the local politicians.
You take 200 people from a given ward. You take them down to an alderman's office in order to pin them and put them on the spot in public with the press present. Are you or are you not? For stopping the Crosstown Express.
Hang on. I want to make sure I understand this. So now, how do you decide you're going to put the alderman on the spot, put the politician on the spot?
Right.
So you alert the media, and do they just show up? if they think that this alderman is.
If you tell the media that we're going to have 200 people at Alderman Keene's office,
okay,
in order to put him on the spot about his position on the Crosstown Expressway. Hmm. Then, and the media knows that by this time the expressway is an issue. Yeah, they're going to show up because you're saying there's going to be 200 people there to right. put a powerful politician on the spot to take a position.
So now I assume that we can extrapolate this to this current situation. If you say, if you go to your local representative, your local congressperson, and can organize 200, 300 people saying, okay, we're going to put this guy on the spot about his vote on the Iraq war or his vote on the Afghan war or the other things. But you're just saying if you can stage a confrontation with a politician and some substantial number of people, and let them, some number of press folks will show up.
There were a sufficient number of yeah. these kinds of events going on, then the press would show up.
Wait,
it's like the immigration fight. You know, okay. in Chicago, when the organizers were able to get literally thousands, probably, I don't know, 10,000, people that were involved in that march downtown on the immigration issue. The press was awed by that kind of thing, and that put a huge amount of pressure on a lot of elected officials on this whole immigration issue.
But wait, so you think that it takes, on a local level though, you don't think that putting, stage an event, whereas you cornered your local congressman, you don't think you'd get a decent amount of local press out of it?
It's my point is that it's not enough. I mean, I want to go back to what I said about the Crosstown Expressway.
Okay.
You have got to have a lot of actions heating up the media over an extended period of time
okay.
in order to overcome something as powerful as this Iraq policy. And the situation is there because everybody knows that, 2 years from now, we're going to have a presidential election and we're going to have a congressional election. And so the scene is set. The question is can you get enough protests going? Can you get enough action on politicians going to, and in this particular case, Republicans against, Republicans to begin to force them to see that it's not in their self-interest? I mean, already what's happened because of this election, a number of them understand that their future is on the line and they're beginning to move to the other side. But there's not enough of them that have been hit yet, so you don't have you don't have the tipping point yet.
So, as our listener is there, what do you recommend that we do? Do we find someone who is already in the process of organizing events and hitch our wagons to their star?
Well, I think there's already plenty of organizations out there that are going. I mean, there are internet sites that are set. Anybody who really wants to get into this fight. The organizations are there and the action is there, and it's a matter of just, tying into it. But what are the kinds of things that I think ought to be going on? Yeah, those are some of the kind of things I think ought to be going on.
So you should be going to, let me say, this is the Mike Mullis Show on the Nova AM Radio Network. I'm Aaron Freeman, and we're talking with organizer Peter Martinez, who is the director of the Center for School Leadership, Training Urban Principals, but a longtime organizer with, in fact, one of the great organizers, one of the great rabble-rousers of our day, Saul Alinsky. Is that right?
Yes.
And so Alinsky, in fact, has had one of my favorite organizing quotes about action.
The actions in the reaction?
Yeah.
That's right.
And what was that again, and what does it mean?
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. In the middle of a Commonwealth Edison fight, we're trying to get a meeting with the top people at Edison in order to get them to negotiate on reducing the sulfur in their coal. They did not want to meet. They refused to meet. So we looked at what relationships they had, and they had an interlocking relationship with the First National Bank in Chicago. We took 200 people into the First National Bank on a Friday. Now, this was before people had electronic accounts or anything like that, so typically what people did in downtown Chicago on a Friday was deposit their paycheck. We took 200 people in there with bags of pennies and tied up every teller at those windows on the lunch hour when people typically did this kind of thing. And then, lo and behold, the bags got rips and they burst and the pennies all over the floor. And it's tying up the whole thing. And instead, and legitimate people who are trying to deposit their check and do business in the bank were unable to do it. And you couldn't really arrest us because we weren't doing anything illegal. But the point of the action was, and the people in the bank wanted to know, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this against us? And we said, basically, look, we will stop doing this when your interlocking board member, Edison, agrees to meet with us.
All right. I like that. I like that very much.
Wait. So there's an example of the actions and the reaction. And the reaction was that Edison said, okay, we'll hold a meeting. Why? Because their innocent interlocking partner was paying consequences for what they wouldn't do, that was unacceptable.
Hang on, Peter. We're going to come back, and then we're going to take some calls. For Peter Martinez, organizer and director of the Center for School Leadership at the University of Illinois. This is the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network, coming with you, being with you for another hour and 15 minutes. So give a call at 800-989-1480. The Mike Malloy Show. We want to talk to you. Shake it up, shake it up. That's what our buddy Peter Martinez is suggesting. Shake it up, social action. It can be done. It has been done before. It's the Nova M Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show. It is I, Aaron Freeman. We've got a few more minutes with Peter Martinez. So, Peter, I hope you won't mind taking some calls from some
Absolutely.
Of our listeners. All
Love
right,
to.
Let's take a quick call to Alan out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Alan, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
That's right. In the old days, they would have called me Griot. How are you?
All right. Fabulous, all right. My brother.
Excellent. Hey, I agree with Peter. Peter, I've been waiting for you to make a particular point. You finally did. What you have to do is you've got to have acts of civil disobedience.
Yeah.
I don't talk about breaking things, but standing in places that the law says you can't or whatever, that is the only way you're going to get the press to come. Because you've got to have the rub. You've got to inconvenience the status quo.
Yeah.
And let me say this. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Let me say this. I am a 58-year-old African-American male. I fought in the Vietnam War. The fact is, if you want to find out how to end this war, look at African-American history. Look at black history. Find out what black people did in order to achieve justice.
Well, they went where they weren't supposed to go.
Pardon?
They went where they weren't supposed to go. They
Absolutely.
Sat and they did what they weren't. They broke the rules.
We did what the law said we could not do. Now, that's the only way the press is going to come up. You see, people are lazy nowadays. What they want to do is they want to go online and sign a petition, and they think they've done something. But what you have to do is you have to get in the street as the people did during the Vietnam War, and what you have to do is allow yourself to be inconvenience others. In some case, allow yourself to be arrested and put in jail time and time and time again to force the system to take note of whatever your grievances are.
Yeah, there's no question about it. If we had more of that kind of thing going on right now, it would be putting a lot more pressure on politicians. It's not the only thing, but it sure would change the temperature of the media.
You would get instant results.
Sure.
I can tell you. There was such a feeling back in the Vietnam War days when the people were in the street. You'd be surprised. One person listening to my voice right now, if he was to or she was to make a sign and stand on a corner, you'd be surprised at how powerful that person could be to get the word out and to make things changed.
Just being a squeaky wheel and doing
just one person out there and we'll give other people inspiration, and other people will join, and pretty soon you have a force to be reckoned with.
Well, thank you very much, Al. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, my brother. Be well. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the NoVM Radio Network. We've only got a couple more minutes with Peter Martinez, activist and organizer. Let's talk to Bill in Phoenix. Bill, you're on with Peter Martinez.
I'm so squeaky, I seized up once.
You're Peter's kind of guy.
Yeah, well, here's something I want to organize. You guys are going to love this. I call it the 4-cent solution for impeachment.
Okay.
If you're for impeachment, spend 4 cents. Spend it on a safety pin. For me, a safety pin is a symbol of motherhood. Cindy Sheehan inspired this idea for me when she hugged me. Red has always been the color of an alert for alert.
Okay.
I'm asking people to take a safety pin and a piece of red felt the size of a cent and pin it over their heart. You know where that is. It's on the left side.
Okay.
Let that be the sign that we stand for the impeachment and removal of George W. Bush.
Okay, so to don a symbol of protest.
A 4-cent solution, something every man can afford.
A 4-cent solution, the people's protest.
Every man can afford. When everyone's got one over their heart.
All right.
Where will they point the news cameras?
Fair enough, and he showed up with a whole lot of people wearing a little red
pins
over
their hearts.
Listen how
this works. Listen how well this works.
Okay.
A lady said to me today, hello?
Yes.
A lady said to me today, what is that? And I said, I'm marking myself for impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
She said, that's great. I took it off. I handed it to her. I said, will you? And then I asked her, did she know who Cindy Sheehan was?
All right.
From one hand to another, from heart to heart, we do this.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, Bill.
Help me out.
All right, we'll do it. All right, there you go. Thank you. Peace. We're going to take one more. We're out of time here. So, Peter Martinez, thank you very much, man. That was actually quite a nice story and great inspiration. Thank you, my brother.
All right, take care, Aaron.
So, Peter Martinez. Thank you. Peter Martinez is an organizer and an activist. He is the director of the Center for School Leadership at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and he's been with us giving us a little advice, a little inspiration on taking to the streets, acts of social disobedience, being a squeaky wheel, a pain in the butt, a fly in the ointment. So we're going to take a break here in a few seconds. We're going to come back for our final hour here on the Mike Malloy Show. My final hour here in Phoenix. My final hour for this little turn on the NoVM Radio Network. We're going to be joined by my good buddy, Ray Hennania. We're going to take your calls on the issues of the day. We'll make it kind of an open line Thursday on the NoVM Radio Network. Let me remind you that if you go to NoVMRadio.com, you can become a founding member. You can join the NoVM Radio Founders Club and avail yourself of the myriad emoluments attendant there, too. There are wonderful things, podcasts, and a chance to win $10,000 at NoVMRadio.com. So as I said, we'll be back with Ray Hennania. We're going to take your calls on whatever it is you would like to talk about. If you want to talk about the brand new escalation, 3,000 troops going into Afghanistan. And, of course, the President Pinocchio says that's not enough. He wants everybody, more and more folks, to be on there. And he wants more and more NATO allies to bring more troops because things are going so well. We just want to accelerate this war, accelerate global occupation, because that is going to bring peace in the world. If you believe that, come on and give us a call. I'm Aaron Freeman. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the NoVM Radio Network. The number is 800-989-1480. Give us a call. We want to hear from Y.O. and you. Squeaky wheel. I'm a squeaky wheel. I could use a little grease. Squeaky wheel. Ooh la la. Oh my my. You can make a wild one oh so shy. Let's not play hide and seek. Open up my eyes. Come and take a peek. Never before seen a girl so fine. No, not the only boy. Tonight. Have fun tonight. Yeah, it's the Mike Molloy Show. My name is Aaron Freeman. It is the last hour of my session here, sitting in for Mike Molloy. Mike is going to be back on Monday. I know you're all waiting with bated breath for him to return, as I have been waiting all evening with bated breath for the return of my good buddy Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania. Comedian, satirist, journalist, and my ace droogie with the Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour and many other great things. My brother, how's it going out there in Chicago?
It's going great. Thanks very much. I'm enjoying doing this. Whole week has been a blast.
All right. So, Ray, it has been, we've got the lines open. We have one line open, actually. We have the rest are all with folks waiting at 800-989-1480. It's the last hour, so please bring it on. We're going to have a little fun tonight with everybody coming out here. So what have you been following in the news, Uncle Ray? Been following this extra troop deployment in Afghanistan? 3,000 more troops in Afghanistan?
It sounds like we're going to be sending troops everywhere. Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran,
Phoenix,
who knows, maybe
Chicago,
even Syria.
I know.
Chicago.
Look, it's a democratic town. Bush may not like that.
Yeah.
Because sending them into the House of Representatives, because they, I must tell you, though, this...
Well, they sent the troop debate to the House of Representatives.
I have found, I've listened to a lot of this debate. I've just had it on in the background all week, and I have found it really quite inspiring and really quite edifying. And I know that people have said it's just a bunch of politicians talking, but for me, you know, it's like a true museum. You know, having them talk, listening to the debate all day, I have myself been able to muse on the whole issue and muse on the positions of people and muse on the sincerity of people. And I think one of the things that I got, I don't know how much you've listened to it, but to me it has been very clear that the arguments for this escalation, this surge, are, you know, the arguments are always, they always come down to this. We are in a global struggle. All of our values, all
with
that we
terror.
Believe in. Yeah, all that we believe in, they cannot argue it on its own merits, so they have to expand it and make it into this great thing. John Bonnier says that everything that America has stood for from the Revolution through the Civil Rights Movement, through the Vietnam War, all of it is on the line if we cannot stand up in Iraq.
I can't even handle listening to the people that are arguing the position I support. It's been too difficult, I'll be honest. A non-binding resolution just really bothers me. You know me, we've talked about it this week.
Yes.
I want to see action.
But now what Peter Martinez said, and I think it's a really good point, that when people are dispirited, like so many of us are, when people are dispirited, what you need is a couple of little wins. You need some wins in there, some W's under your belt to get some, to give people hope.
I think it's more about not being dispirited, but leaderless. Well, that really, to me, is... I wrote a column, you know, talking about how much Obama inspired me.
Okay.
Not that I think he has a lot of great ideas, but he just gives me this sense that, you know, maybe he just might be different, and I'd rather just put my lot with someone who maybe, rather than with somebody I know won't be.
Although Obama is still a centrist, I mean, he wants to get the troops out in March of 2008.
Right, a year before the election.
I mean, March of 2008, do you know how many, as I'm sure you do know, how many people
It's about 6 months sooner than, you know, the Republicans are talking, but
well,
you're absolutely
right.
It's
about 1,000
like,
deaths, you know, March of at this rate, it's 1,000 deaths. I mean, the Iraqis are dying at a rate of 100 a day, you know, and so
we're losing about 3 Americans every day.
Yeah, so I cannot imagine, I'm just saying that Obama, for all of his charm and charisma, is still a very centrist, go slow, middle of the road kind of politician.
Well, you look at the consultants that are around him, and you can tell why. I mean, these guys are masters.
David Axelrod.
Goes to my wife's synagogue. Great guy, worked with him for years. Very smart.
Very smart, obviously.
But it's all about the money. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so I'm just saying, I think that there are, I'm hoping that, that, you know, if we can take some of Peter's advice and make and put some pressure on these guys, and I have confidence and I have faith that we can put pressure on them. I think they're feeling the pressure now in this debate, in the because you can see them. You know, they all say, we're doing this, but I promise you, this is just the beginning. Really, no kidding. They recognize what we don't want and don't want, and I think that they are starting to listen.
But how does somebody justify a view like I was listening to Ray LaHood who's down in Peoria, Illinois, and Peter Roskam, you know, who's really kind of a new guy, but who took over from Henry Hyde, basically saying, look, we are going to oppose this non-binding resolution because we're going to support the troops, right, and we're not going to send the message to the terrorists that we're surrendering, because anything short of victory, they claim, is surrender. But we can't win.
But I do understand their feelings. It's an emotional thing that they want to worship the goddess Nike, the goddess of victory. That's what they want, and it's hard to give up, to get up off of that notion of we're going to win.
So they know they can't win, so they just talk about wanting to win?
But I think that we don't want to admit, look, it's over. In case anyone hasn't noticed, the Iraq War, the military part of it, is over. It's been over. They failed. We were not able to militarily dominate the country. It ain't going to happen. It is done, finished, kaput. Even Bush admits this, that there's not going to be the parade. There's not going to be anyone surrendering.
And he won't get to wear his flight jacket again on a battleship.
It's going to be so sad. I know. But so even he acknowledges that. But they don't. I think a lot of Americans just don't want to admit it. It's sort of like the Israelis after the Lebanon War. It's just too depressing to admit that it's over. That you
Do you think Americans are basically tired of all this?
I think we're
tired
too.
They kind of knew that there was something phony about it to begin with, but we could put up with it because the terrorists were bad guys. And you know, the bad part about a suicide bomber or a suicide airplane hijacker is, you know, the criminal basically punishes himself. Who's left to exert our anger at?
That's true. It's true. That's why I'm sure that's a part of why Saddam Hussein was the victim, because he was there. He was someone you. What did Rumsfeld was? They were talking about whether or not to invade Iraq or Afghanistan. Rumsfeld said, "There's no targets in Afghanistan."
Right.
You drop, you know, you drop 50,000 bombs, you do 12 cents worth of damage. I mean,
create nothing. A few more caves.
Yeah, it's nothing. All right, it's Aaron Friedman here on the Mike Malloy Show, on with Ray Hennedy, 800-989-1480. Let's take some calls here. Let's talk to Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona. Barbara, you're on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi. I also wanted to mention that I'm originally from Chicago.
Ah, wow. Homegirl.
We love you.
And I'm 50-something, and
aren't we all?
I used to work with, I was in Los Angeles and Hollywood for a long, long time, and I used to work with Dick Buckley Jr.
All right.
We had a band called Baby Buckley and the Babs.
All right.
Wow.
So we have a few things in common. I also have a Second City background.
All right.
We should get together sometime.
Love to.
Well, what I just had called, I don't know if I called yesterday or the day before, regarding the fact that the Saudi Arabians are arming the Sunnis.
Yes.
And they're on Oberman tonight at 10 o'clock on MSNBC. And tomorrow it should be on his website. He has a gentleman speaking who is the head of the CIA terrorist task force.
Okay.
And he... It was more specific about my allegations and, in fact, said that something like 72%, he gave a percentage of our injuries and deaths of our soldiers are being caused not by the weapons that we've known since 2003 were coming from Iran,
right,
but, in fact, are being killed
With
weapons coming from Saudi Arabia.
Or certainly, I think the allegations that I've heard is that Saudi Arabia is giving lots and lots of money with which the Sunni insurgency or the Sunni
resistance. This is actually weapons.
The
interview will be on at 10 o'clock. He's one of the first ones up.
Yes, the Iraqi Homeland Security Forces are very effective.
the Sunnis. And they're being supplied by the Saudi Arabians.
You understand why that is, don't you? Because, you know, a lot of times we talk about Shiites and Sunnis as if it's just a religion. But the Sunnis are the Arab side of the religion, and the Shiites are mainly the non-Arab side of the religion.
Are they Persian?
Well, in Iran, they are.
A lot of Persian or from the Persian area or non-Arab. And a lot of those Shiites, they don't have the same agenda that the Arab countries have.
Right.
So Saudi Arabia comes to the defense of the Sunnis, not so much because it's religious, but because of the majority of the Arabs in the Fertile Crescent are Sunni.
All right, Barbara, thank you very much. We're going to keep an eye out for Keith Olbermann. All right, it's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova AM Radio Network. Aaron Freeman here, Ray Hedonia, talking with you, taking your calls. It's a wide open kind of board, 800-989-1480. Give us a call. Talk to us on the Nova AM Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova AM Radio Network. That fine music comes from our tremendous engineer, Ian Huff. Our man, the master of all media, is Ian Huff. It's Aaron Freeman. Aaron Freeman is here for the last half hour here with my buddy Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova AM Radio Network, reminding you that if you go to NovaAMRadio.com, www.NovaAMRadio.com, you can become a member of the Nova AM Radio Founders Club. Not only that, not only do you get to be in on the ground floor of this fine and amazing radio adventure, but you get a chance to win $10,000. Now, Ray, then what would you do with $10,000, man?
Pay off one of my credit cards.
I understand.
And then go out and get two more credit cards, right?
There
so I can buy $20,000. I would change my $10,000 debt into $20,000 debt in less than a day.
You know, and is that kind of knack for cash manipulation that has made this country what it's rapidly becoming?
It's a great country.
Let's take a call here from Alan in Miami Beach. Alan, you are on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova AM Radio Network.
Hi.
Good dog.
Good talking with you. Listen, I think one of the many disconnects of the lack of a national dialogue, one of the many hundreds, has to do with the terms of what winning is supposed to mean. And I believe one of the great problems is that, of course, for the Bush administration and the neocons, winning has a meaning that is no one else in this country is really privy to. It doesn't have anything to do with installing democracy or the number of people who live and die or maim. It has to do with going forward with the project for the New American Century Plan of the 14 bases and the huge embassy and all that stuff. So as far as he's concerned, they're winning. And the only thing we have to keep doing is stay there long enough to make sure that nobody can kick us out of there. That constitutes winning to him, whether we have to destroy our Constitution in the process or not.
Well, I think you're right, but I know a lot of people, a lot of Mike Malloy's listeners really believe that the fact that they continue to construct this embassy, this gigantic fortress embassy and those bases, means that they're going to be there permanently, and it is just not so clear to me. I actually think that the Islamist movements are really tough, and I think they're tougher and smarter than the Bush guys. But I understand why people don't necessarily believe that.
Well, it's certainly in their plans. They've certainly outlined that that's what they wanted to do.
Absolutely.
And actually, in Iraq, as far as I can tell, was just the first step in a long path, because according to the Project of the New American Century, they want to move eastward and go through that whole region. And Iraq was the easy one because it had, the dictator everyone loved to hate.
I understand. I get it. I know. And I would remind you that Iraq was supposed to be the easy one. If this is the easy one.
Yeah, can you imagine what a tough one would be like?
You're right. This is the easy one. This was the easy one to do. And I remind you further, they couldn't even kill Saddam Hussein properly.
No.
They couldn't even do that. And that's the easy part. I mean, they've turned Hussein into an international martyr.
But look what it's done to our national dialogue. The fact is we have all these people spinning and talking in Congress and in the pundits and the newspapers on television, and nobody's talking about the real issue. They're debating distractions. They're not talking about the fact that they think winning means something completely different than what we're talking about.
But there are a lot of people who are talking about defunding this bad boy. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you followed what John Murtha was saying today.
I missed him today.
John Murtha's plan is to refuse to fund the deployment of any troops who are not properly trained or properly equipped.
How about the new felons they want to send overseas? How's that for properly trained?
Well, I don't know about the new felons. Tell me about that.
Oh, well, they've just lowered their rules. They're going to be sending convicted felons.
Oh, okay. But Murtha's going to say, what Murtha wants to say is he wants to do it's a pro troop. If you believe in the troops, if you want to protect the troops, you have to make sure the troops are properly trained and properly equipped. And because of his knowledge of the training and equipment of the troops they plan on sending, they're not going to be able to send anybody.
Well, I say we got to get impeachment as soon as possible just to distract them, if nothing else, to prevent them from going to Iran with all of their hubris.
I say indictment before The Hague and then, well, you know, Bush and Saddam deserve to have a little tea together in heaven. Anyway,
thank you,
Alan. It's the Mike Miller Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Aaron Freeman sitting in for another half hour with my good buddy Ray Hanania and you. So give us a call at 800-989-1840. Oh, Ian Huff is spinning in fine tunes, and we love listening to him on the Nova M Radio Network.
Get rich, that's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking.
That's so sweet. What a nice take me back to Chicago.
Music was all I had.
Oh, who is that?
As good as I could.
Chicago. That's the group Chicago. That's Ian Huff on our engineer. A very sweet song. Thank you so much. Aaron Freeman, heading back to Chicago in another half hour. She says, well, we're going to actually leave in the morning. But ending this little stint sitting in for the Mike Malloy Show, sitting in on the Mike Malloy Show, honored and grateful to our friends for letting us come on down here, honored to Uncle Mike for letting us share his studio, share his listeners, getting a chance to talk to y'all wonderful folks. And really, what a delightful, delightful bunch of listeners y'all are and callers. We really appreciate it. Joined tonight for the last half hour here by my dear, dear friend whom I love with all my heart, Ray Hanania. Uncle Ray.
How you doing?
I'm having a
grand time,
you know. Sad to say goodbye, but hopefully we'll get a chance to spend a little more time one of these days here on the Nova M Radio Network. But in the meantime, let us talk to some of our folks here. Let's chat with Larry out in Phoenix. Larry, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hello.
Yo, Larry.
All right. You might not be so happy with this caller.
Okay.
Because I don't have anything pretty to say about what Bush's intentions are. He clearly wants to start a situation between two major religions, the Christians and the Islams. He wants to have war between them. He wants to have it so angry, so mean-spirited that there will never be any cooperation between us to defeat him and his globalist agenda. And they really want to take over some kind of possession of all natural resources and minimize and marginalize all other human value. That means get rid of all the rest of us. I mean, physically eliminate us.
Oh, well, now, golly.
They're not going to have much use for very many of us. And he was being consulted by Kissinger, who's on the record as saying we should get rid of two-thirds of the population anyway. But,
well, I hope it's by attrition.
Well, the attrition would be very rough attrition by not letting us have what we need. They've already done their achievement there in Iraq of making the entire country a death camp according to what they control. They control the whole place. They control everything.
Do you think they actually control Iraq? I guess
absolutely. And they're just keeping the pot stirred up with all the violence, and they're using our military over there, which results in us not having a military, which puts us in a more vulnerable position than we would be if our military was here or if they could reasonably get out, which he does not plan on having them come out or return.
Larry, do you have no hope that the political process in America will stop him?
The one hope is that people will understand what's going on and stand up for all humanity, try to be united and get rid of people like George Bush. They should go the way of the Medici family.
Well, you know, Larry, I can't tell you, but there's probably no one I've talked to who I more fervently hope is wrong.
I know, I mean, me too. But
really hope you're wrong.
I've been following this for 2 decades, and I haven't missed a single call on what they're doing and what their intentions are by proof of what they end up doing. And it's really the biggest tragedy ever. I never wanted to live to see the end of the world, but this is looking more and more like it all the time. These people have their agenda. They're pursuing it. They're being successful. And they're not the least bit likely to turn back. And if this guy stays in office until the end of his term, there'll be nobody left to oppose him.
Well, but he'll be gone, and then we'll have Hillary now.
Well, we'll be gone, too.
Well, I hope that you... Boy, I hope you are really wrong. I hope you got your head way up your patootie, my friend. All right, well, thank you for calling.
Thank
All
you,
right.
sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Well, Uncle Ray, now there is
depressing.
A man... There is an... But I just don't believe it, because I really, truly, as somebody said earlier... Iraq was supposed to be the easy one, the easy first step, and I just do not believe, and I don't believe that they actually control Iraq. I truly don't. I don't know.
I think they control just enough of it to get their agenda done. I think so they can get what they need done. They're making a fortune. They're spending money. You know, it's not, I don't think they really want to control Iraq. You know, really control it.
Yeah,
I think just the way it is, they're benefiting. I mean, they're just making a fortune.
So you don't think they're going to be driven out?
I think that we can hold up there as long, you know, I mean, as long as Americans will tolerate losing soldiers and wasting money, they could stay there forever.
Well,
and
that's
we
true.
Can see that tide shifting against that, obviously, but you just never know.
All right, let's take another call here. Let's talk to Kevin in Silver Springs, Maryland. Kevin, you're on the Mike Mueller Show. Kevin, you're not there on the Mike Mueller Show. Well, fine, take that attitude. Okay, let's talk to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, you're on the Mike Mueller Show.
Yeah, that last caller, you know, sad as it sounds, he's right. He's absolutely on the money.
That they want to kill us all.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, biologically speaking, the world's biggest problem has been overpopulation. He is, and he said it in such a nice, measured way. You know, when they first stole the 2000 election, I reread the Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and they definitely were following that as a blueprint, and they haven't stopped. You know, type of people, they don't last all that long, but the damage they do is usually in the 25 to 35 million population reduction. So there's a star chamber that doesn't care a whit about the suffering. They see it as something that has to be done, and they might as well profit enough to buy their own islands and stay out of the fray.
But who's going to buy the products? Who's going to work
don't
in the
care about
as
products.
A surf?
Products are crap.
Okay.
Products are plastic. Okay? The only thing that really matters is the stuff that was made in Italy 300 years ago. Steinway pianos, still worth something. Everything else is crap. It's a plastic parade. It's a money exchange. Who cares?
All right. Well, I guess it will add you to the list of people who I really want to be wrong.
it doesn't matter. It's the course of history. America's going for empire. And we'll have to suffer the consequences. And
if we thought we had a depression in the 30s, this next one is going to make us just weep with pain. And the Chinese are great at collecting their debts.
Do you really, though, believe that President Bush had this vast agenda, vision of, you know, what this grand scheme to do all this? I mean, couldn't it have been something simple like that guy Saddam had made fun of my father? Boy, I just wish there'd be an opportunity to take him out. And
well,
sure enough, something happens, and he just jumps on it, and Cheney and Rumsfeld go, wow, boy,
well,
we got a sap we can manipulate.
Yeah,
couldn't
the puppet
it be just something simple like that?
The puppet masters don't care what way Bush joins in on it.
Right.
They don't care.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as little boy has his fight in the game, and as long as they can pull in fundamentalists who have their vision executed, which is that Armageddon's got to come now, I think it all is spurred on by the fact that Jesus didn't come back in 2000. So they're just picking somebody who may do the job of the death and destruction that they were promised.
Well, you know, again, I just hope that I don't really think that it's that bad, and I really don't think it's that bad, and I don't even think that Bush is that evil. Although, let's say, I wouldn't argue that he's that evil, but I don't think he's that competent. I don't think these guys are
well,
that
Well, that's what
good.
I mean. I agree with you. I don't think he was that sophisticated to come up with this grand scheme. I really think it's something that even isn't really evil in the sense that you want to defend your dad's honor. You know, you'll destroy anything to do that, maybe, but, you know, it's a simple, basic, I don't like that guy. He said bad stuff about my dad, and my dad, look at how many things he got me out of, including the Vietnam War.
Yeah, that may explain Bush, but it doesn't explain the corporate media egging this on and continuing the lies.
But it's all money. It's sold. The public, you know, they can see the public would pay a dollar to hear those lies, and they didn't want to pay to hear the truth. So what are you going to do? The corporate media gives the public what they think the public wants, and then they spend their whole careers trying to reinforce the public's belief that this is what you want.
And they spend their very comfortable, well-funded careers doing that.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for doing the job, guys.
Appreciate it, brother. All right. We'll take one more quick one here in Orlando. Tony, right quick on the Mike Malloy Show. You're on?
Yeah, hi. First of all, I want to say I really miss Mike Malloy, but I really think the replacement has been great. I mean, and I'm going to miss you as well.
Well, you're sweet. Thank you.
Aaron's a good guy, man. He's right on top of it.
Well, and let me say this. Hopefully at some point the progressive community will stop calling the invasion and the attack and the occupation of Iraq as a mistake and start calling it a crime. And we are currently involved in a crime.
Absolutely.
It's of major proportions. And to start thinking that we can just, you know, logically work our way out of this is unacceptable. I'll never quote or cite Colin Powell other than to say that when he said, when you break it, you own it, we own it.
Well,
and
also, you know, I also would say, Tony, that one of the big things that makes me, that fills my bladder with rage, is this, the very reference to it as a war. It is not a war. It is an occupation.
It's a monstrosity.
Monstrosity is a better
one. It's the Nazis. I mean, you know, it's among the worst kind of things that can possibly happen.
You are correct, Tony. Tony, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. It's the Mike Malloy Show. We got one more segment here. We're going to take a break, then Ray and I will be back and take a few more calls and then say goodbye to you. It's the Nova M Radio Network, 800-989-1480. Our engineer is the legendary Ian Huff. I'm Aaron Freeman. Mike Malloy is going to be back, but we're going to be back after these few commercial networks on the Nova M Radio Network.
With parts made in Japan.
It's the NoFM Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman. Heading home in a little while. But delighted and honored to be talking to y'all on here with my good buddy Ray Hanania.
And how you doing, man?
Yo, man, we're having a lot of fun. Let's just take a few more calls here. Let's say goodbye to our buddies online. It is Blake. Blake, you are on from San Francisco on the NoFM Radio Network and the Mike Malloy Show. Blake?
Yeah, hey.
Yo, dog.
Yeah, I was I called last night and mentioned a book that I thought people should look into, The Contract on America,
yes,
by David Schein.
That's right.
The CIA thing, you know, I think the problem with the CIA is probably really central to the whole Bush administration mess. And this book got 40 pages of footnotes at the end with documentation, points out that and the other book that I mentioned by Jonathan Block on KGB and CIA,
mm-hmm.
Points out that the CIA has been controlled by the right wing of the Republican Party since its inception. And John Kennedy had made a statement, I think it was in this book or another one I read, where he wanted to, like, just get rid of it at one point. There were a lot of conflicts between the FBI and the CIA because the CIA was doing all kinds of weird stuff that the FBI, disapproved of ethically. And they always seem to come out on top because there's big corporate money behind them. The first director of the OSS, which became the CIA, was Donovan, and he was like some multimillionaire guy on Wall Street who got appointed during the Roosevelt administration. But
Blake, we're running out of time here, but let me say the book is Contract on America by David Schein and CIA KGB, right?
Yeah.
All right, my brother. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we'll do one more here. Let's talk to Warren. Warren in Mustang, Oklahoma. You're on. We've got a couple, got 60 seconds.
Hey, I just want to let everybody out there in Malloy land or ask them to call Pelosi and tell her that impeachment is not off the table. It is the table. It's a cheap call. Go after her.
Do you have a number for the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's office?
Oh, they're everywhere. It's it's the same old 212 number in Washington.
All right.
But just flood it. Flood it.
Let them all know that impeachment should not be off the table. If impeachment is the table, impeachment is what we want. Impeachment is what America needs. Impeachment is what the world needs.
That's why she's got her job today, by the way.
What do you mean?
That's the reason why she was elected Speaker of the House, because so many people voted against the war. And is Bush going crazy? He's going to defend our soldiers from Iran? That guy's losing his mind.
Well, you know, some of our truth seekers out here believe that he's not losing his mind. It's all part of the grand design. And certainly, they did say back in 2003 that Iraq was the beginning, not the end. And that was their intention. Go ahead.
We've got to bring charges soon before this country is awash in blood.
Well, let us just hope that those charges do come, or at very least that they pull the financial plug on this particular little adventure.
Exactly.
Well, thank
keep
you.
Keep the faith.
All right, keep the faith, Warren. We appreciate it. Well, that is it's such an odd little way to end this, huh? End this week and this night.
This whole week has been fun, hasn't it?
Well,
listening to people
fun.
Out there, you know, it really has given me. Listen, I think I'm leaving with like 25 columns. That I'm going to be writing for the Orlando Sentinel, one of the papers I write for.
Well, let's say that Ray Hanania is, you can read his work at Hanania.com, and anyone who is interested can certainly visit my website, AaronFreeman.com. You can see what I'm up to. You can follow, you can even watch my stand-up comedy, but you can listen to commentaries from public radio, public commentaries from Air America Radio in Chicago. There are a lot of really wonderful folks out there, and we really appreciate your calling. We appreciate your passion. We appreciate all the input that you have, the truth seekers. Now, and of course, Ray, I know you have trouble listening to this particular program on the air, on the over the internet. But hopefully the Nova M Radio Network will be a blast, will be an incredible success. And matter of fact, you can make that a, more of a success, dear listener, by calling, by going to NovaMRadio.com. And for your $100 membership in the Nova M Radio Founders Club, you can become a part of the magic. And you will get a chance to win $10,000. So I want to thank you, my dear friend Ray Hanania, for joining us and for being a part of this program this week. Ray, you gone?
Thank you.
Oh, there, okay.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank our engineer, Ian Huff, who has just been a great buddy and done a great job and spun some magnificent tunes. I want to thank my family for tolerating my absence from the city. I'm heading back home tomorrow, dear. I want to thank all the folks. Thank Mike Malloy, particularly, for letting me sit in this wonderful chair and share his magnificent audience. So thank you, dear listener, for listening in, for giving us your earlobes and your eardrums. And we'll be seeing you soon. And Mike Malloy will be back next Monday night. Next Monday night, he'll be back in the and seeking truth and enlightening us all. On the Nova M Radio Network, I am Aaron Freeman. Shalom.